It's time for the birds, the bees and the bugs, thanks to Care HQ.
Yeah, thanks to our friends at Care HQ. We've got nurses Charlotte and Nikki in the studio with us. Morena.
Kia ora.
How are you going?
Good, thank you.
Very good. Excited about Fashion Week. I'm liking the Care HQ polos. Oh, it's very
honestly,
fashionable.
All over it.
Very chic. Very chic.
Original.
Yeah. Lovely. We're talking a little bit about sexual health today. For those not familiar, Birds, the Bees and the Bugs is our segment. Thanks to our friends at CareHQ, which are a telehealth service. And we're talking all things syphilis today.
Yeah.
Which yes. I feel like people don't know that much about or sort of think is this old timely thing, but it's actually we're having a bit of an outbreak of it in New Zealand at the moment. Is
we
that
are.
Right?
Yeah, we are having an outbreak, and I think that throughout the world there's a bit of an outbreak of syphilis as well. I had a look yesterday at the history of syphilis. It's been around for a very, very long time. There's some theories that suggest it was brought from America by Christopher Columbus. And
bloody colonizers.
Thank you for that. And French soldiers in 1494 apparently indulged in a long bout of celebration and debauchery. And it soon became apparent that they were afflicted by this terrible disease called syphilis or the Great Pox. And it seemed that syphilis in those days was much more severe than the syphilis of today, and probably because it was treated with arsenic and mercury.
Oh my God. That was your treatment.
Yeah.
So first you get syphilis and then
you
have
die from the treatment. Yeah.
God.
Very good. Well, so, we've come a long way, right?
I think so, yeah. And I found some famous people who are believed to have had syphilis, including King Henry VIII and Al Capone.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
I know. So what are the symptoms for syphilis?
So the symptoms, it comes in three stages. So often people don't have any symptoms. It's like any STI, really.
Right,
it can be asymptomatic. So, but if it does get symptoms, then you can get a painless ulcer, often painless on the genitals or in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So you can quite easily
miss it.
Yeah. If it's not treated, the ulcer will go away on its own, and then you might get a skin rash, and it may be all over your body, or it may just affect your palms and your soles of your feet. Fever, fatigue, headache, so all things that you could just think, oh, I've got a viral infection.
Yeah, right, okay.
You know, I've got a reaction to something that I've eaten. You know, it's not
that
something
sort of mouth
you...
Ulcer, yeah, like mouth all sort ulcer. Of painless stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and if it's untreated at that stage, the symptoms go away, but they may come back. And then there's a period of kind of latency where there's no symptoms, so people just would literally have nothing. And then tertiary syphilis is when it can appear years or decades later. And if it's untreated by that stage, it can be extremely serious. It can affect your heart, liver, eyes, nervous system and brain. It's not not to be taken lightly, but always with STIs there's a positive, and the positive is that it can be treated at any stage and it's really easy to detect on a blood test.
So how has it made such a comeback? Like what's caused this outbreak, do you think?
I think it's always been grumbling.
Right, okay.
I know when I worked in, 20 years ago, I worked in sexual health in Manchester in the UK, and we had a huge outbreak of syphilis.
Right.
So I think it just ebbs and flows. Since penicillin was introduced in 1943, that's a really effective treatment for syphilis.
Right.
So I think it probably got really low numbers then, but I think just with travel, people moving around the world, having different sexual partners, it is just something that's come
more
back.
Sexual liberation.
And also the fact that, like, it can fly under the radar for so long, you know?
Yes, exactly.
Like with any of them.
Yeah. I mean, there's been an increase in the cases in men having sex with men in Auckland, but also an increasing number of heterosexual transmission as well. And we've seen, I don't know, there was an article in the Herald yesterday about congenital syphilis, so babies born to mums who have syphilis.
Right, okay.
And it can be extremely devastating for babies. So there's a big move to increase testing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
So treatment for syphilis looks like just antibiotics?
Penicillin.
Or? Penicillin. Okay,
it's
right.
weird because a lot of these STIs, their treatment has evolved, and there's been resistance to treatments. Whereas with syphilis, penicillin is still the treatment of choice. It works very well.
Cool.
Mm, but it's
cool.
injections.
Oh.
in your bottom.
Okay.
Okay.
That's
exciting, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. So every now and then we might sort of move to different treatment depending on resistances and first line and what we know is going to tackle it best. But that's obviously a global issue.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. But as Nikki said, the main thing is testing. Yeah.
So CareHQ can help in that way, in that you can refer people to get tested and stuff, right?
Yes, yeah, exactly. So we can arrange testing. Syphilis blood test, so it feels a lot less probably invasive than some of the other sexual health tests.
Mm-hmm.
And we can test for, gonorrhea, chlamydia, all of the main... And as part of an STI panel, we would also check for hepatitis, HIV... That's everything, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. And actually something that I was going to bring up last time is we... also check different parts of people's bodies, which sounds strange because we sort of associate sex and infections with our genitals. but if we've had sexual contact in other parts of our body, so we've touched, we've given oral sex, all those sorts of things, if anything's unprotected, there's the possibility that an infection could sit in that site,
which
is why we swab people's throats.
Mm-hmm.
Because with oral sex, there's a rise in infections orally. So you could have an STI in your throat and not have it in your genitals.
Yeah,
which feels kind of
I feel
feels like it shouldn't be that way, but
it makes sense when you explain it. But like, I get how people would be like, I don't have that.
I don't need a throat. Yeah, why would I have a throat swab?
But there's nothing going on down there.
So we would arrange testing. Yeah, we'd speak to patients and talk about which areas we need to test, and we can send them on to the labs to do that. And if it's something where we think, we might need to graduate them to a sexual health clinic, we can help them to find a place to go.
Cool. Very good. We talked a little bit about chlamydia last week.
Yes.
But we wanted to touch a little bit on gonorrhea, which is quite similar to chlamydia, right?
Really similar.
It is.
Same joyful fact that it's less symptomatic in people with vaginas versus people with penises.
Okay.
So, quite similar. I feel like in terms of a symptom profile, what could be different is mostly there's more discharge with gonorrhea.
Mm.
So people tend to find from their genitals there's more discharge, which tends to alert people quicker to think, something's not quite right. Mm-hmm. I need to have a test. But also things like pain in your genitals, pain during sex. What else is there? Burning urine.
Lower abdominal pain, testicular pain and ache, bleeding again after sex or in between your periods.
Mm-hmm.
Bleeding that's not normal for you basically needs checking out. Rectal discharge, often with a throat infection, there's no symptoms.
Right, okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
So I guess the best way to get tested for everything is to do a blood test? Would you say that's right?
Blood test, and depending on where we've had sex, accompanying swabs.
Okay.
So we would, we would arrange swabs as well.
So you can be very thorough.
Cover
all your bases.
All your bases.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's one more thing to say about syphilis, though, that a condom will give you some protection, but syphilis can also be passed on through genital skin-to-skin contact.
Right.
So a condom is not going to cover... the whole area, so there is still potential to pick that up.
That makes me think of okay, this might be a niche reference, but it makes me think of I don't know if you've seen the show Girls, but when no one's gonna get this, I hear someone laughing from the office and I hope it's at this. There's a scene in Girls where she's like googling and she's really worried that she's got an STI, but she always uses condoms, and she's like googling, what about the stuff that gets up around the sides of condoms?
Absolutely.
That stuff exists.
Yes, okay. Oh, it's a thing.
She's
a thing.
Yeah.
Okay. You can never be too cautious, everyone. It's
exactly.
The moral of the story.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Get tested.
Oh, very good. Okay. Yes. Okay. Get tested regularly. It's important. Look after yourselves.
Please.
Thank you so much, Nikki and Charlotte.
No, that's cool.
Learn so much.
Yeah. And I mucked it up last time. If anyone does want to come through to us, the code is BFM-25.
Very good.
Yeah. Oh. So come on through and we can chat.
Awesome.
Nice. Yeah.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks to CareHQ. Stay safe out there, everyone. That was The Birds, the Bees and the Bugs on BFM Breakfast.
That was The Birds, the Bees and the Bugs, only on 95 BFM.